Hello, do I have audio now? Good morning. Can you hear me?
How are you doing?
Okay. Audio is really low. And I'll try to boost it up here, but with this computer.
Not hearing you for some reason.
You're not hearing me. Okay.
Ever since Fedora went with pipe wire, audio's gotten a little bit weird.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me now? I am not
Give
muted.
A couple minutes here. I'll figure okay. it out, I think. Still there?
Oh, I'm still here.
I cannot hear you. I don't know why.
You cannot hear
think,
me. Okay.
I don't think the problem's at your end.
Think it is? Okay. I am not muted. And everything should be okay.
Huh. Very strange.
I guess I ought to hop in the car and go over. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't know, Jim.
You can't hear me? You can't us hear me? Nothing, huh?
You're not, I know you're not muted. I know you're not muted. You're headed to Norwood. What's it say on the last end? What does it say on the last couple lines? Norwood Library now. All righty. Gotcha. Okay. See you later on. Cheers. Okay.
Oh God. No.
You know, when your site uses SharePoint, you still gotta use IE. So the new version of Edge came out. There's no oversight in that at all.
I am amazed at some of the stuff that IE let through. And one of the things that I actually thought was a good idea at the time, back in Windows 95, they had what they called Active Desktop, and it was you could display a website as your desktop background. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I liked it. I set up a couple of little web servers and I can see the stats for the XYZ server, but apparently it ran ActiveX and didn't ask things like, do you want this to format your drive?
Why would it? Security is not Microsoft's strong point.
No, it isn't.
And in some ways, I think they go out of their way to make their stuff insecure.
It seems that at sometimes.
Some things. But they purposely introduce backdoors. That's kind of like Android pumping out phones with all their vulnerabilities enabled, knowing that they're vulnerabilities. So is that because of China or
make no idea. So this is the SD card. Folder one is the front camera. Folder two is the back camera. Not a big fan of the way it numbers things. I wish that it did a better job of it. But each little you can't see this. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Okay.
Get the mouse back over here.
I think I'm set up now.
Okay. So I've got a 64 gig chip in here. It came with a 32, but I wanted something a little longer. And this is I hope, a better chip. It's one of the high endurance ones. So you end up with a folder with a whole bunch of little videos in it. At this point, it looks like it's already wrapped at least once, because it's jumping from 496 to 813. But there was one I wanted to find. It was on my drive in here this morning. And it looks like I got to reset my clock. Huh. Nope, that's where I live.
All right, 3 a.m. Where were you driving in?
What the heck? Maybe we're back up at the top.
So does it have a 1,000 file limit or something?
No, it doesn't.
So it fills up your chip and then
starts deleting the old stuff. Yeah.
Got it. And how does it, is it on all the time, or what turns it on?
In my case, yes, it's always on. Okay. I've got it plugged. So the cigarette lighter or power socket, whatever, in my car, turns off with the key, which means this would stop recording unless the car got hit. I wanted it to run all the time. The thing draws like 45 milliamps. It's really low power.
Right.
I figure it'd take about 3 weeks for it to run my battery down, and my radio probably already did by then. So I took off the overhead light, because that on almost every car, if it has a switch where you can turn it on and it stays on, it has power all the time. And I just tapped into that. And put there's plenty of room behind it. So I took apart a USB adapter, soldered some wires on it, and just put that in there, wrapped the whole thing in heat shrink. So now I have a USB port, actually two of them, that are constantly powered up, and it's above the windshield. So since this thing is stuck to the windshield up high, it's by the mirror, it's perfect. Oops. Good, didn't hear that. Yeah, definitely the clock is wrong on it. This should be me puttering across Norwood. Yep.
Okay.
It's surprisingly good video for a $75 dash cam. And this it's full screen, but it's not full resolution. It's 19.2 by 1080, and this projector is less.
Okay. Well, you can put it on your laptop and get a really sharp picture.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Or fancy TV. Here.
Pardon?
Or your, yeah.
Say your fancy TV.
There's one I'm looking for. Probably ought to mute this. There we go. Because sometimes I talk when I'm angry. This is coming down 275. I had to run to work. Stop that. There we go. Okay. Not sure why it's being stupid, but probably about here. Yeah, this guy. I had a protected turn and he just slid right in there. Yeah, normally I turn into this lane. Unfortunately, that's where he was. And yeah, there was a little cursing here, so not safe for work.
Did you get to play off that?
Well, yeah, you can stop it at any point.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think it's DMR 7386.
I don't get why people run a red light and think they have the right of way.
I don't know.
You wanted to mute your commentary. Free-hand commentary.
But okay, so that's all I got.
What is the name of that thing again?
This is an Ape Man.
APE?
APEMAN. I forget the model number, but if you do Ape Man dash cam, this is the one that shows up.
Okay.
They're on all over on Amazon.
Okay.
Not a big fan of celluloid, but I guess it works.
Lovely desktop.
A lot of different models of that.
Yeah, the C450 is 1080 single camera only, and I think mine's a C550. And this one, wow, at $86 is supposed to be really sweet. 4K, huh? So I guess this one that I've got is probably considerably cheaper now. There it is. What? That's not good.
Oops. Good morning. Good morning. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so it's not a 550. What are you? Shoot, maybe now I get an upgrade. Oh, power on. Okay, its battery is dead. Huh, that's curious. I wonder why. I've had this now about 8 months. Real happy with it. It's a neat toy. We have folks I don't recognize. Welcome. This is it.
Since I would say it's just wrongly predicted traffic on Saturday morning, and there's a giant traffic jam right on 22.
On 22?
I forgot about it.
Oh. It happens. Not a big deal.
We all arrive late.
Yeah. Pretty frequently I do.
I made it by like 2 minutes.
Yeah, let's try the front here. I don't know. They're surprisingly inexpensive. If I told my insurance company I had this thing, it would. My insurance would go down more per year than that thing cost. But the problem with me telling the insurance company I have it is that if I get in a wreck, they say, oh yeah, you've got a dash cam, give us the chip. I don't think I want to do that. So at this point I haven't told them, and if I end up in court because somebody did something stupid, I have a toy. And that was what I wanted.
So is it, you just need the one card, or does it?
Mm-hmm. It records both channels on the one chip.
Does it have a second unit that goes in the back, or?
Yeah, it plugs in with a little 4-pin headphone jack. It's USB, I'm 99% certain. And the cable is 4-pin to a weird little, do you know what an XLR is? Used in audio, it's got 3 pins. It looks like a microscopic plastic XLR with 4 pins. An XLR is a big heavy metal thing with a push button on it. They're designed so people can kick them around on stage and not disconnect the mic. This is less than a 1/4 inch in diameter. And it comes with a little plastic spudger that you use to push the cable in behind your headliner.
Oh, okay. So then you run it around to the back.
Yeah, you can't see any of the cable except for the last 3 inches where it hooks up to the rear camera. And I haven't permanently mounted the rear camera yet. And the rear camera is lower resolution. It's just 720.
I got dual dash cam for $150, 4K, 3-inch.
So is this like where you could you got like a trunk you can drill a little hole and put the
yeah, you can.
Put the camera in the back.
The rear camera is a 1-inch cube. It's very small.
Almost like a little Wise camera.
And
a little smaller, actually.
So this is what it records. Hopefully I'm not doing something stupid here. So this is coming across the Norwood Plateau. And I should be taking this exit here.
Thank you.
It has happened. Not for quite a while, though. It also has a microphone inside the car, so it and you can turn that off, but it records what you're saying. And there's just more of this.
So that was your rear-facing camera.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you don't have to have front license plates, you can't get people's license plates that rear end you and drive off, right?
Unless they drive past you. And then you get the rear plate on your front camera.
If you're facing the right direction still. Not shoved off in the nose into the building or something.
I am not used to having this thing on split screen.
Hmm. That's a cool little gadget.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought of having a dash cam, but, you know, I've had had enough, you know, bam, you know, it missed somebody pulls an idiot stunt.
Oh, yeah.
Murphy's Law says one of these days I won't move fast enough and they'll tag me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any difference who's right and wrong when they tag it. It's damage done.
No.
Then
show that it was.
This one looks very similar, but it may be somebody else reselling a similar one. It does matter who's right and wrong, because at some point you got to involve the insurance company.
Oh no! It matters what's right or wrong when it comes to who pays for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter when there's damage. The damage happens.
Yeah.
Whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault. And even if insurance pays for it, so on, it takes your time that you don't want to spend fiddling around with that stuff. So I'd rather spend that time than pay for it.
There's one in here that's probably older that I want to see if it's there. There was a wreck at Jungle Jim's. I didn't see it. I saw the aftermath of it probably 3 minutes later, but it looks like a vehicle was trying to turn, was going southbound on Route 4 and trying to turn into Jungle Jim's, and another vehicle on Route 4 going northbound just went under it. The SUV ended up on top of another car in the rocks beside Jungle Jim's. And I stopped and I got some pictures.
Yeah.
And on Reddit the next day, there were pictures of my cousin up in Fairfield, Ohio, got these pictures. I'm like, oh, those are better than mine.
They had somebody slam into the back of a kid there in Bethel the other day, like 2 weeks ago, and then drive off.
Nice.
And somebody had a camera somewhere, filmed this white car. The whole front end was mashed all the way. The hood was sticking up like that. I don't know how they were even driving down the road, but they didn't, you know, stop for the wreck. They drove off like that.
Hmm.
And it got like 3 miles away before the engine died from losing all its fluid or whatever. But they, you know, nobody knew who it was or where they'd gone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or who had hit them, because there wasn't a plate, you know, and it took them, I don't know, about a day before they found the abandoned car because the engine was blown. But it was interesting because all the people in town were trying to help, you know.
Yeah.
They'd posted on, you know, like, the whole banding together. It's like, hey, somebody just hit my daughter in, you know, in front of Wichards and drove off. Then they had, like I said, video clips of the car to see if anybody recognized whose car it was and tracked them down. I would assume they got them, but I never did hear.
Unless somebody stole the car and
that's what they were curious.
And wore gloves or something. Didn't leave any residuals.
You know,
if
that's not usually a problem out there, but I know that's a big thing over here in Marymount.
Yeah.
So there's like a gang initiation for the kids to steal a car and drive it like 80 miles an hour through the one area, because my boss, they used to always miss the turn and like slam into his living room.
Oh, nice.
They would bail out, right? And then behind his yard, they cut through and catch the bus. So they time it to where the bus.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, man. It happened.
So the initiation wasn't in a year. The initiation was to go into the guy's living room.
And then see if he can, you know, drive the car, I guess. And they'd be like 13, 14-year-old kids, 12-year-old kids. Slam it into, you know, wouldn't make that turn. Slam it into his house. That happened like three times one time in a year. And they always catch that bus, so they'd escape.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it happened so often. It's like the cops knew to watch the cameras for it. But, you know, by the time the cops get there, they're always gone because they catch that like last 1 a.m. bus, you know.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's sitting there with a gun on his lap.
Oh, that was nuts, man.
Home invasion.
he had to leave work one day, too, because they'd done it in the afternoon. It's like they knew when that bus came through, and they send those, you know, tell those kids they had to do it at this time and tell them what to do when they, you know, wrecked it. And
that's crazy.
It was absolutely bonkers. Yeah. I'm gonna put a pillar there.
I'm trying to remember where it is. On the far side near Loveland, there's this one zigzag, and the guy's got a rock in his front yard that's bigger than my car.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, it is gargantuan. And he goes out and he cleans the paint off of it, so it's always a pretty clean rock. But yeah, it is a huge chunk of pink granite that probably weighs 15, 20 tons.
Whoa.
I mean, it if a car hits it at 70 miles an hour, it's going to move 2 feet closer to his house. Maybe
the granite wins.
Yeah. Yeah. And the car is going to get a lot smaller.
I can see if it's in front of his house. There, so I'm surprised he can get away with having that out there, but it's protecting his house. I can't.
If it's on his property.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, so this came up as a thing the other day, and I was watching, there's an online lawyer from Michigan, I don't remember his name, but he makes some pretty decent arguments, and we were talking about this at work, attorneys, a truck spun on black ice, went into the guy's front yard, hit his very well reinforced mailbox and flipped. The guy ended up as a paraplegic.
Yep.
The homeowner shouldn't.
Why?
Because
your mailbox is required to break away.
So the USPS does not agree with that.
Oh, really?
Yep. It says that it recommends that it be mounted on a 2-inch diameter steel pole buried 2 feet in the ground. But it's a recommendation. They don't say it's a requirement. And it doesn't say anywhere on there that it has to break away.
At least from what I understand, Ohio's laws are, depending on what states are, but Ohio is the mailbox must break away.
Hmm.
Or they can go after you if you're injured.
Really?
Yeah, because that's the same thing that happens. Like, so if a kid comes through and smacks your thing
So I'm not allowed to have any big trees in my yard.
Trees are
or natural. Or a house made out of concrete, because somebody might go off the road and run into my house.
Well, there's the difference from the distance of the road. You're not.
It's my property. Right. If he's not controlling his vehicle
right.
and goes off road, that's on him, not me. But I, as far as I know, Ohio doesn't have a break-off requirement, but maybe.
I don't follow it, but I say from everything I've ever been involved with, they're required to break away.
Mm.
Because there's people that have put an iron post out with the I-beam, and they got sued.
Huh.
So, and they lost hard.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I understand why, because the kids come by there and bust off every freaking mailbox going down the road.
Yeah.
You know, so some of those farmers out there and stuff get hurt off at it, you mm-hmm. know, and they put in, you know, I-beam with a wood plate so it looks like it's not there, and they come through their hammer and, like, rips their arm off.
Yeah.
Kid did that, too, and he got, they got nailed for that, too, because it ripped the kid's arm off of one of the pitchers from the school. As a kid, dislocated all the sockets and everything.
That's bad. It's his fault.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
I know
you're vandalizing. You know, you get what you get.
Yeah,
stupid does have consequences.
Yeah,
and it should.
Yeah.
Growing up, out near Governor Bebb State Park, or county, I don't know, whatever. There was a fellow. And he worked for a construction company, and his mailbox was in a steel pile. He had driven a pile into the ground, and it took him 2 or 3 hours with one of those boom, boom, boom things on it. So, and I'm pretty certain he filled it up with concrete afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I've seen a few that are armored out the yang, but honestly, from everything I understood, it's, because of I mean, it makes sense to some degree, too, because there's no reason to kill somebody over a mailbox.
Right? Yeah.
But you didn't kill them. They killed themselves.
I mean, it's
assisted suicide.
Okay, so the deer ran out, slammed into your car, and blew a front tire, and you go sliding sideways off the road. If they had a breakaway mailbox, right, you'd have slid off, and you'd been fine.
I got it.
But you hit an I-beam, and it cut your car in half.
Got it.
You know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know,
right,
there's nothing to say, you know, oh, hey, there was a nail in the road,
right,
you know, and I blew a tire and whiffed enough to hit the edge of your mailbox and spun my car around.
Yeah.
You just never know what's going to happen. For safety features, it's, they're supposed to be breakaway, from what I understood.
Yeah. Don't you like, you're showing the likes, there's a really fun set of videos on YouTube. It's the lock picking lawyer.
Oh yeah, yeah, and he's great.
And Deviant Holum.
Mm-hmm.
My Brett teaches, my son teaches at Xavier now, and they got a grant to change the name of the program to an apprenticeship program, as opposed to whatever it was called before. And apparently there's a big program giving out grants to do that, so hot darn.
Yeah, cool.
And so he got a room full of equipment, and he showed his team that, yep, see, it's all locked down. So on, he might say,
yeah.
And of course, oh, smoke alarm sees that everything unlocks. You know? Yeah.
Oh.
And he's going to be teaching a class businessman classes, and apparently there's a great deal of interest, but, you know, for you guys to find out, oh yeah, that cabinet over there, oh yeah, well, it's a standard key, you know, for mm-hmm. one, and for two, a guy with the right rake in about 2 to 5 seconds can be in it.
And make automated keys almost anymore.
Yeah.
Not that kind of stuff.
When I was in the Army, you almost had to buy one particular little master lock for your duffel bag or your locker or whatever. And I had rakes with me. I could open those things damn near as quick as you could with a key. Mm-hmm. 5 seconds was, wow, that's a tough one. And actually, there was even a quicker way. In basic, we had bunk beds, and it was a steel bed with a pipe between it with two roll pins in it, and then another bed set on top. And that pipe made a hell of a hammer. And you could turn the lock sideways and tap it on the side with one of those pipes. It would open right up. I mean, they were truly horrible locks.
They probably required that for a reason, for that very reason.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. Quick thing on pile drivers. Anybody ever watch one? You know what those things actually are?
It's a big hammer. They lift up and drop it.
No, it isn't. It's an engine. They lift it once and they drop it down. It has a diesel tank on it. And when it comes down, it compresses, they weld a plate onto the top of the pile. And that's the piston. And the weight comes down. They inject diesel fuel. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. It's a huge diesel engine.
I watched the Brent Spence engine being built.
Mm-hmm.
And they were driving these huge beams or whatever to the ground with these very large.
Drivers. Yeah.
And it must have been.
I think I was there.
They looked like tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a flat bottom. I don't know how they worked that.
Just hit harder.
The ground is going to be rocky in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pound that through.
Till it hits bedrock, yeah. I think I might have been there too. That was when Dubois Chemicals, used to be down on Front Street, was closing. And I was there with my dad helping move stuff about 1971.
This was around 1961.
Oh, okay. Nope, wasn't there. Must have been a different bridge.
that was a co-op thing with the gas and water.
Okay.
Their underground headquarters is right there.
Oh, really? Is that the... Okay, so that's all that wiring that's right off of 71, 75, off of that bridge. On the north side of the river, it looks like a power plant there.
Yeah, there was a big plant. And then there was a smaller building. And that's where all the crews that worked underground worked from.
Okay, very cool.
And we had the end address, but learned something about Oakworth.
Marlon P. Jones Associates. .com, MPJA. If you need weird crap, this site has it. It's very similar to what Mendelssohn's used to be, which is no longer, if anybody didn't know. There is no more Mendelssohn's. But yeah, they have just stuff.
What's the switch?
Hmm?
I said, what's with the switch? Or did this? What was on there when you pulled it up?
Switch?
Well, it's a strike.
Door. Yeah. Switch. Yeah. So low voltage. And this one is locked with no power applied. You apply power, it unlocks. I don't know. Just something I was looking at earlier.
So without electric, they can't rob you?
Yeah, right. Basically. 9-volt battery is the key. Who has those anymore? But yeah, they carry interesting, weird stuff. Lots of Raspberry Pi toys. On Raspberry Pi toys. I just got it. I haven't done anything with it yet. I got a Raspberry Pi camera that has a motorized IR filter.
Oh.
So when light gets low, it physically moves an IR filter out of the way of the lens, and it's a 170 degree fisheye with an IR and a visible light. Got a range of about 6 feet, I guess. Can play with that. Haven't started yet.
Make sure facial recognition to unlock the door. Facial recognition to unlock the door.
No, though I am considering getting some sort of motorized lock on the door. It'd be awfully handy because when we get home, I tend to send Marley in with the lightest bit of groceries. Here, just get the doors open. I'll be up in a second. But then she has the keys because we don't carry both sets of keys. Mm-hmm. And now I've got to lock the door on the car. Because if she walks away while the door is open, it doesn't lock. Kind of a weird thing to meet Mazda. Mazdas have some interesting, weird things. I like Mazdas, but
Most of them lock when the keys are out of range.
Oh, this is it. And that's about what I paid for it, too. No, that's not it. Mine has a much wider angle lens on it. It's bigger. But that's very close. And on mine, one of these is IR and one of them is visible.
They have bits and pieces stuff about everything then on mpja.com.
Yep. Okay. Marlon P. Jones. It's easy for me to remember.
Yep.
And they used to have an amazing catalog. I don't know if they still have a printed catalog or not, but it's pretty sweet. It was about 60 pages. It was decent. They used to send them out once every other month, I guess. I don't know.
When did
there we go. Free catalog. Huzzah.
When did Mendelssohn's die? I haven't even looked for years, but
they were closing. In January, February.
Okay.
Maybe even December. I was up there and it was cold weather and everything was marked down to 50% at that point, but there wasn't anything left worth that much. And they still weren't willing to deal. They had this one weird little terminal. They were sitting on thousands of them. It had a little four-line LCD display and number buttons and the red and green. It was a thing for lower income convenience stores, and this little terminal was on the end of a telephone wire, a coil cord, and they'd slide that thing under the glass so that you could type in your PIN because you had already given them your card. And it had a pretty straightforward protocol. It was easy to figure out how to use it, 9600 baud, 8N1. And they were sitting on thousands of them. And they wanted like $14 each for them. And at one point I was up there and they didn't have a price tag on them. I go up to the front, I'm like, how much? I don't know, what's it worth? $5. Okay. I went up later because I figured out how to use it and like, this could be useful. And I come up with like 15 of them. I'll give you $5 each. Oh no, we're selling those for 12. Okay. When they got to everything's 50% off, I got a pile of them, give you $5 each. Oh no, those are six. Really? Okay. You've still got like 5,000 of them. Are you? Okay. I don't know.
Right. You know, you want them.
Hmm?
You know, you want them.
Yeah.
That's because it came up with so many of them.
Yeah.
Now that you know how to use them,
mm-hmm.
they want their money.
So I ended up with probably five of them. And they are kind of cool. They're well built. They've got the little security screws that are supposedly hard to get out, but now the driver comes with every bit set. It's the little triangular one that they use on McDonald's toys. You can display anything you want on it. It's got a standard HL 14. No, that's a Brother printer. HL 1260 driver chip. So it does all the ASCII characters and you can tell it bit for, you can send it 6 bytes that will define a image and then display that. So you can display anything on it you want as long as it's small.
Well, talking about miscellaneous, if anybody wants to move furniture around, you know, I first go around, I went on Amazon, I got 4 sliders for like $19 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the there's a Harbor Freight store in Aurora, Indiana.
Oh,
home.
Okay.
And I went in and said, hey, they like that. They had a box with a whole bunch of sliders in it for $3.
Yep. There's also a thing, if you've got somebody to help you with moving stuff, it's a strap about 6 inches wide, basically a seatbelt strap, mm-hmm. and a harness. You get two of the harnesses, and it's got a big buckle on it.
Start pulling.
Yeah, you pick it up. I mean, practically anything, because you've got the full harness, mm-hmm. you run the strap underneath it, and all you've got to do is keep it balanced on the strap. At that point, it becomes pretty easy to get stuff up and down stairs, and there's very few things in your house that weigh so much that two strong kids can't pick it up.
Right. And that was at Harbor Freight?
No, I think he picked that up at Lowe's.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a kit. It's a box about so big.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I moved, the kids moved all my stuff, and it didn't take them long. I'm down to everything fits in one U-Haul. Big U-Haul, but one U-Haul. Any questions? Any Raspberry Pi queries? That sort of thing.
Another question. Why couldn't I log in to the meeting today?
I don't know. Anthony did.
Everything worked fine. The last time I turned it off today, I couldn't connect with audio. I can connect with video.
Oh.
Did you see me on there at 10?
Maybe I'm muted and have been all along.
Well, I didn't see your picture on there either.
Well, I didn't get in. I didn't get this started until a few minutes after.
Well, I was probably close to quarter of.
Oh. Anthony, can you hear me? Have I been making noise?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other people on there could not hear me. I was not muted.
Okay.
I don't know.
Linux or Windows?
It's Windows, unfortunately.
Oh, I don't know.
Windows.
Sorry.
Windows is a tower up on the second floor. I was using this because it has a battery. So anyway, what I did... I held this up.
Okay.
I am not muted. I will go to the Harvard Library now. They all laughed. That was the quickest way I could do it. So I'm going to try it here and see if I can get in.
Okay. It should be working. Here comes the feedback.
Default microphone.
Yeah, it does default to off. No, that's a checkbox in the settings.
Well, anyway, I will find out here in a little bit. So you just go on with everything else.
Okay. And I had this here last week. This is still my all-time favorite Raspberry Pi case for a Pi 4. This thing is here. Pass this back. Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The whole thing
is a heat dissipating box.
Yeah. And it's got sill pads inside. So it's in contact with the CPU, the memory, the power control chip, and one other, maybe the Wi-Fi chip.
That's a nice case. Wow. Got one.
Should I finally get a 3D printer?
Five USB ports on
metal cases that are cooler.
Yeah. Well, and physically cooler, too.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, that's about me.
Yeah. I don't know how long you were... playing with that thing, but it never should have gotten more than just slightly warm. And the Raspberry Pi 4 had issues with heat dissipation.
Yeah.
Don't say it did fine. It was even a little zippy.
Yeah, they're decent little pies. Mm-hmm. I think she wanted to see it.
Do you want to see this? Oops.
So now I put Debian on mine, and then it said to put Docker. Oh, what was it? Docker or something. I kept complaining about ARM 64.
So I like had the wrong version of Debian on it, or I don't know. I messed around. Finally, I like looked for different commands, and it took off and dropped Docker on it. Wget is installed by default in Debian, I guess.
What?
The
it has curl.
Final version of Debian for the 4 didn't have Wget in it and all kinds of crap. It was insane.
That's...
I thought it was odd.
Well, honestly, I'm not sure that the Raspbian has Wget by default. I install it, but I'm at the point now, there are so many ways to skin a cat. I can go through a tutorial, and if I don't like Wget this weekend because they did something stupid, I'll use curl. It does the same thing. Or links, or the other links, or e-links, or there are so many ways to get a file onto a Pi.
I got it all running, except for talking to my external drive.
That shouldn't be hard.
Well, the I would say that the OS did, the MD wouldn't talk to the do the portion.
Oh, okay. So is it? Are you doing like an NFS mount?
Yeah. Which I didn't realize they'd rolled out a new version of NTFS 4, I guess, finally.
Oh, wait, NTFS or NFS? They ain't the same.
NTFS.
Okay. Yeah. That's so you're doing the Samba mount.
Well, mounting a Windows drive external.
Oh, okay. So NTFS 3G or something like that.
Well, it used to be, the G3 something. Now there's a 4, I guess. What the Debian dropped on it for the Raspberry Pi 4. And so that was like, I wasn't sure what all the commands were. It got to where Debian would read it just fine. I had no way how to get it to show up in Portainer. I pointed to the Portainer to that directory, and it was just always empty. I haven't spent a whole lot of time with Portainer, so it was like, rah. And the command I ran grabbed something like a version 4. I've never seen it.
Okay.
But the command for the 3GS word. With the 4 that we installed.
That's cool. I wonder if that, because there's NTFS soft RAID, and I wonder if this can open that, because that would be truly handy. Okay, I'll look into that later. That's a cool thing.
I thought it was odd too, because I grabbed the command. Was like when it went out in apt-get or whatever and installed, it was saying it was NTFS 4, and I was like, what? And then the util NFS or whatever update. I was like, well, that's new, because I was shocked it wasn't 3.
So I only have NTFS-3G installed on this. Let's see what happens. I'm going to try to install 4.
Just put the command
in Let's try it without the four or without the G. I'm not getting anything. That must be pretty new. This is one version behind on my mint here.
Probably just do a search for NTFS4. And somebody's figured out a hack for it.
Well, I was using like the new image for the Raspberry 4B or whatever Debian that was built for. And it's totally I didn't run the unstable, I ran the last stable version. And I did like some ASCII, util NTFS, and it grabbed some NT4.
Okay.
Thing is, what it popped up, and I was like, what the heck are four? Because I spent a long time trying to get the drive working in Proxmox. So I knew 3G, and I had all the commands for the 3G. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, but it took the command, and, as though it was the 3G, which I was kind of shocked. But then, like I said, I did the app update, and it said there was an NTFS4 that it grabbed, which kind of threw me for a loop. But like I said, I don't mess with it very much, so.
Apparently, I was out of date with Chrome.
Everybody's out of date with Chrome. Half the 0 days from last week alone.
Yeah, I didn't know those were mostly Chrome. I saw a bunch of them for Windows stuff.
Yeah, there was probably 40 different apps that had 0 days this past week.
Yeah.
Or week before last. And then there's the Hello Kitty VMware Linux encryptor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, somebody.
Wait, what?
I forget who the group was. So there's a virus called Hello Kitty now.
Okay.
That attacks VMware.
Okay. That
specifically encrypts Linux volumes.
Okay.
So the Linux machines get.
Okay. Well, luckily, I was able to convince my boss to not open up web ports to the VMware machines. Yeah. So we have a total of 12 VMware servers.
Yeah.
And he had set up their web ports on 80, 81, 82, 83. And opened up that range of ports so that he could administer those boxes from home. I'm like, oh God, stop it.
Yeah.
He could administer from home, somebody else can.
Yeah, everybody else.
Okay. So I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to. We have one password for all of the administrative accounts, and it's the same. And he has used it for accounts outside of the company.
Well, that's very secure.
Yeah. Right.
And whenever he does an audit, because he does all the audit work, we get audits that are 150 pages. And I don't have the time, patience, or vocabulary for that. He's like, oh yeah, we change the password every 3 months. Dude, it's been the same since I started. And I know it was the same before that because I had to call the last admin who knew the passwords. At least when you change admins, change passwords.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, God, yeah. That's especially an old author.
Yep. Yeah.
It was a very interesting episode of Forensic Files. The title is Hack Attack, and you can look it up on YouTube. And this administrator was he'd set up everything, and eventually they fired him. He couldn't get along with it, so about 3 months after he left, suddenly everything stopped.
That happens.
So they traced it back. First, they looked for the backup tape. It was only one.
No, 3 months is and that's outside of the range for most backups.
Anyway, the backup tape had been gone for 3 months before anyone knew that it was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they called him a forensic device. They discovered that he had set a program called Restore or Repair, whatever,
mm-hmm.
which instead of repairing, erased everything.
Uh huh.
And then it jumbled it in addition to it deleting
stuff. Mm-hmm. The shred does a good job of that.
Yeah, and so they were left pretty much with nothing. And they had to spend months restoring
or
rebuild everything,
writing the programs all anew. He spent a few months in jail. It's what happens when one person has control of everything.
That's way more common than you would imagine. And then it's really dumb when you try the guy that holds it all together without having any idea.
Yeah. You
have the guy that takes place already lined up to come in and fix stuff.
Management doesn't know that was the one thing.
Management doesn't know what a backup is.
Know what a computer is, practically. Or the server, or what the whole thing deposit does.
Wait, when did we buy this? Hold on a second.
They also usually don't include the computer people when they design the building. So they put the bathrooms above the servers, you know.
Yeah.
Or my personal favorite was at my facility, they had a the air conditioner water pan was over the server rack.
Mm.
So you come in one day and you're like watching the water flow come through the drop down ceiling on top of the server, and you throw the floor mat over it, and people look at you like, what the hell are you doing? It's like, trying to save the server. Let the, you know, at least the rubber will keep the water from going into it.
So a thing that I'm a big proponent of is letting people know what you do. I got on their company's VPN. Hopefully this works. Yeah. So, yeah, this is the wiki that I set up. It's running on an old Dell Optiplex 780, I think.
I was going to say, it's a 780?
Yeah, because we had a pile of them, and it's got dual drives in it. It's in Software RAID. You can pull those drives out and put them in basically any Dell Optiplex, and it'll boot. You can pull one drive out and mix it with another one, and it'll boot. And you can, it's pretty darn stable. This machine has been running for a long, long time. We've got a title company in there, and I just set them up so that they could do their own wiki. They're very easy to manage. They're wonderful for doing documentation. It's easy to, I like this quote, it's easy to maintain. They're pretty secure. You can't upload files to it if you don't have a login on it. You can tie it into AD if you need to. So basically anybody in the company can edit it. Or you can set it up so that it recognizes the manager group, and anybody that's in management can edit. Is your sound working now? I hear me, so it must be.
Fine now.
Is that a Linux box or Windows box?
It's Please.
Is that one Linux or Windows?
This is a Windows, yeah.
I'm sorry. There's a cure for that.
Yeah, it's going from the second floor to the tower that I have Linux on.
Let's see.
But that doesn't have a camera, so that's the problem. Yeah. Okay, it works.
Well, so, you just take the camera out of that and solder a USB plug and plug it into the one upstairs.
Do a search for routine, nothing shows up.
I made it. I bet he still can't hear me.
You're muted.
I am muted?
Yes.
Okay, I'll fix
that. Spacebar generally fixes that.
Yes, I am. Okay, can you hear me now?
No, I still show you muted.
Yeah, okay.
I'm muted.
Now I hear you.
You okay? You hear me?
I do.
Thank you. I'm in the library.
So now that I'm logged in, daily IT routine, and it's in a folder called secure, so I can see, and this is what I do. Yeah, this is a fun one. I don't know if this is gonna work or not, but we'll give it a try. I'm the guy that's responsible for the heat and air conditioning, including maintenance on it. I've put belts on the thing. There we go. This used to be available outside of the company as well. With this same login and password, can you make a guess at what that password is?
Oh, be super sneaky.
Password.
HVAC backwards.
Linux. That's not backwards.
I was trying to be helpful, you know, hopeful.
No.
This HVAC guy.
Yep. Yeah, this was anybody on the internet. Luckily, it didn't have DNS to it, so you had to actually know the physical IP address. But yeah, so RTU3 appears to be heating at the moment. And that's curious. It seems to be warm.
Spider bots won't find it, never.
Mm. So, yeah, this is a cool thing. This is on a system that is about 10 years old. And we have 4 rooftop units, and each one has 2 compressors. And so far, we've lost 4. And they keep going, oh, let's just repair it. Okay, a compressor is $7,500. The whole unit is granted, $20,000. But you're going to lose the other compressor now. That's correct. The way these things work. So you're going to be down $15,000 and the rest of the system is 10 years old or whatever. We'll keep replacing those compressors.
Well, there's a lot of weird things going on in the polling industry. It might be better off keeping an older one, to be honest.
Here's my office. And so right now it's pushing 107 cubic feet per minute through there. And the space temperature is 70 degrees. It actually measures airflow in every branch and has it's called a VAV. This damper here is motor controlled. So the rooftop unit switches between vent and cool in warm weather and vent cool heat in weather and heat and vent when it's cold out. Mm-hmm. And it just opens up the VAVs when they're needed. I'm grasping at straws here. I got nothing else to talk about for the next 10 minutes.
Oh, we use VAVs and jet engines.
Mm-hmm. They're a little bigger.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
Sandy's, the ex-wife, Sandy's relatives, and she had a bunch of relatives, and a couple of them worked at GE. And out at their ranch in Indiana, one of them has a tail cone. It's a piece of titanium that had to cost $100,000 as a fire ring. And it is cool. I mean, that whole thing weighs like 7 or 8 pounds. It's 4.5, 5 feet in diameter and about that tall. And it's got a slight swirl to it. It's neat. And it is amazing how much those little fins that stick out 1/4 inch on the inside affect the fire, because the fire comes up in a tornado. Very cool.
My dad didn't bring anything like that home.
Right.
He welded those.
And security's improved over the years, you know.
Well, I would say they wouldn't have probably even cared back then.
Right.
And this is my toy.
One of the strikes, the management did the welding, I guess, and they had all the parts.
Ooh.
So when the strike was over and they came back in, all the parts were gone. But, you know, the engines weren't built.
Right,
You know, they played Hunt the Wampus. They said they were finding, you know, parts hidden and stashed all over the plant where the, you know, they'd messed them up. And so instead of confessing that they screwed up doing it, you know, they were hiding the parts up in the tops of the bins and in the ceilings. And
right. Yeah. I mean, when we had the strike, I think it was like 79, 80, whatever. Yeah. All the engineers, staff, everybody was out there doing things. And about everything that we were doing, though, was put the part in. You know, turn on the laser, turn on the machine, whatever it is you're running, and let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, but something like welding, unless it's fully automated, if it takes a welder, that's
very skilled. Well, and that's what it's like all the stuff was here when we we had the stuff with like the next 40 engines, and it's like, where did it all go?
Oh, well, even welding titanium in there. Oh. Boom. Yeah, I've been watching the engine wars, and the F-35s have something like 15 or 20% availability rate. I read an article the other day that 5 of the aircraft don't even have engines for them, and others that aren't available. But the engine they put on them is just it's not big enough.
It was junk. I never understood the whole all of a sudden assault on GE and canceling all their government contracts, because they still made the Superior engine.
I don't know. I think the government decided they didn't like Jack Welch.
Yeah, oh, that could be. But test-wise, they always outperformed, and they're always, you know.
Now that they're coming back, they're starting to beat the drums for an alternate engine, quote unquote.
Yeah. They're going to Rolls Royce.
They're going, you know, GE put their 129s on F-15s for Israel and for South Korea. And when they were testing them, you know, the requirement for the F-22 is to go supersonic on dry power. Mm-hmm. Well, when they're testing those engines at sea level, they were getting ready to go supersonic, and we had to pull it back because of the airframe. The engines to keep going, the airframe would break.
Yeah.
So, and the rumor was that when they were jockeying for the F-22, they told Douglas at the time, you know, they talked about what they'd done with F-15. They did some things for it that experimentally it would allow you to, you know, fly, stand on your tail, do pirouettes, you know, you name it, all kinds of thrust vector and stuff. And they didn't want to lose the momentum to get the new plane. And so, yeah, it's
I don't know. I never got the whole bailing out of Pratt and Whitney way back when they said, if you don't get this contract, we might survive.
Things are right now.
8 years of Obama canceling everything that ever was ordered from GE.
Right now, if you look, Pratt and Whitney is getting killed with their titanium blades. Those are the ones that cause the engines on that they have on 777 to explode. It's a matter of time. They all they have to do is replace them after whatever, you know, stress. They keep the records on how much stress has been through, and then replace them, because titanium will crack and it will propagate quickly. And when they hollow the blades, they lost a lot of lifetime.
Yeah.
They lost the weight, so they had more thrust to weight. And Rolls-Royce apparently is having trouble with their hot section. Rolls-Royce has a corporate policy of buying the materials, and apparently
quality's dropped. Does it come from a different vendor?
Either that, or you know, the new quote unquote more efficient engines. Definition of efficiency is you have cold air coming in, you burn your fuel, and you have cold air coming out. That's 100%, you know. And the difference between the heat of your flame and the exit temperature is a definition, physics definition, of efficiency sort of thing. So when you get the engines more efficient, yeah, they close up tolerances and so on, but higher temperatures help. More air and higher temperatures. So, you know, now then, of course, they've had them for a long time, the big fan engines, a lot of the air is bypass air that just gets pumped. And it mixes and it, you know, adds the thrust and so on. But there's a lot of detail in there, but you know, when you get to the high temperatures, you have to be really clever with the cooling design and with the protection on the blades. And for Pratt and Whitney, the F-35 engine, it wasn't big enough to begin with, and I don't know if they ever did get the vertical takeoff working, but if you know, the problem was the engine, it takes more power.
Yeah. Well, that's complaining about Pratt and Whitney all the time was, especially you know, some of the planes that he did and some of the test pilots, is that they vibrate, they don't, they're not smooth, and they just don't last as long.
Mm-hmm.
So you never understood why.
Well, that's true for any machine. Vibration is bad.
Well, that's the thing, you know. It's like, you know, if the plane vibrating itself apart while flying on its second flight, you know, and Pratt and Whitney's planes have done that in prototypes, you know, and it's like,
you know, you do that in the test cell.
Yeah.
You spent the hell out of it, and you find the resonance zones, and you do whatever designs necessary to bring the resonance zone down. So, okay, you're starting up and it goes zzz, and then you're out of it. Yeah, out of the resonances.
Okay, I'm getting ready to wrap this up. They all know I truly love my scripting. So this one's kind of fun. This little script runs, gets speed data, drops it to this GNU plot script, which makes something like that, but that one's ugly.
Oh, okay, the resonance peaks on it. Or you transform it a bit.
And that's our connection speeds at work. We're paying for 200 and getting pretty close to it.
Okay.
So black is speed in, green is speed out, and red is the delay in milliseconds.
What's your internet cost?
Right now, we've got 64 IP addresses, and it's just under $1,000 a month, like $785. Is that too high?
We pay $1,500 for 10 by 10 with 7 phones and 3 IP addresses.
Really? With who?
Cincinnati Bell.
I don't know. We've got a fiber connection. Yeah, they can fiber. Go up to gigabit.
That's restricted to 10.
Yeah. You can change that.
Yeah, for double.
No. No.
So, well, because you're canceling the contract that they signed for 5 years.
Oh.
So for a cool, you know, like $40,000, we can switch it.
My fiance started having trouble with their television. And so I did a speed test, and she's supposed to be getting 100 megabits with her fiber optic connection.
Yeah.
And they throttled it down to 10 megabytes or something like that. So we called up their service guy. He said, oh, yeah, I got that. I'll fix it. So now she's getting 200 megabytes. He fixed it, and it didn't go through the billing department.
Well, I would say 200 is the base for
a lot of people.
And their default base, if you're in the right areas, is 400 now.
No.
So.
Yeah.
And it was coming in at 2.3 kilobytes per second.
Might be time to reboot your router. And modem. And
did you see the new speeds that Japan is doing for internet?
No.
It was like 24 terabytes or something.
Damn.
Wow.
For local internet.
Wow.
Okay.
And I was talking with, you know, our fraternity gets together, you know, for a phone call every 3 or 4 months now. It just started months ago, but anyway, one of the guys is still a professor at MIT, and his group developed a germanium laser, which is now they've actually got working technology apparently, and they're at the phase now of teaching engineers how to use it so that it'll have much more efficient and faster servers. Lot lower energy use when you don't have to ship electricity around all the time. You can send a little laser beam, low power laser beam. So,
cool. Say the HP was demoed off there.
Well, Tony, I think we're going to call it a day. I appreciate you being there. And next time, come here.
New drive for their server.
Talk to you later.
All righty. Thanks, Steve. All right, thanks, take care.
Oh, my pleasure. Was thank you. Like
75 petabytes a second. And of course, HP opened, they wanted to develop.